1 John chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 7. How many of you, of course I know this, I have to say this, but how many of you know that you say beloved when you're reading the Bible, but when you sing, you say beloved? Amen? The reason I say that is because I'm probably going to end up saying beloved before the day's over with, okay? That is incorrect. We say beloved when we're singing, we say beloved whenever we are reading the scriptures. So verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Father, again, I just ask this morning, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts, Lord, on this Sunday morning. Lord, we have gathered here this morning, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you. And Lord, you know what each one of us needs. Some need conviction. Some need, Lord, rebuke. Some people need encouragement. Lord, some need instruction. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll give each one exactly what they need from your word this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be doers of the word of God as well, Lord, that when you do speak to our hearts, that we do something about it. Lord, that we just don't just give lip service and, Lord, and go about our way. But Lord, if there is a conviction there, Lord, I pray that we will do what it takes, Lord, to please you. And I pray this morning, Lord, before everybody walks out the door, that everybody will be saved and that everybody will be in fellowship with you. And help us, Lord, to continue to grow every day. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with tomorrow being Valentine's Day, it's expected that preachers preach on the subject of love. Because Valentine's Day is a day that we celebrate our love for our loved ones. And certainly, you know, I know that there are a lot of people today that preach about the love of God, and I understand that God has a whole lot more attributes than just love. I mean, he is perfectly just. He's got mercy and grace. You know, he shows wrath, not upon his children, but God has different attributes. God does different things. And I understand today that most people preach about the love of God more than they do those other attributes, okay? I understand that. To the point where sometimes they preach things like, well, you know, where Christians will actually say, I just don't believe a loving God would send somebody to hell. I'm just going to tell you this morning that God is not willing for anybody to go to hell. If a person goes to hell, that person has made the choice to go there, okay? Listen, if you're here this morning, you're going to hear the gospel. And if you've never been saved, your choice, it's your choice. Either you can receive the gospel and be saved, or you can reject the gospel and walk out this door. Right. And at the end of the day, I mean, once you die, there's no do-overs. It's either you're saved or you're lost. And so I understand that, and I understand that there needs to be more preaching on the wrath of God and the judgment of God and those sorts of things. But you know, because it is Valentine's Day, I think I am going to preach on the love of God this morning. Amen? Because let me tell you something. Without the love of God, none of us would stand a chance. And of all the Valentines the Valentine's gifts that you've given, nobody has gotten a better love gift than the one you got as eternal life. Amen? And so Valentine's Day is a day that we celebrate our love for our loved ones. It's a day for me to think about the love that I have for my wife, because Valentine's Day happens to be our anniversary. Now, you may think, oh, isn't that romantic? Well, I've got to be honest with you. I was trying to save a buck, okay? Didn't work. But it is romantic, and I will say this. I don't have a hard time remembering my anniversary either, okay? But tomorrow will be a day where, you know, not only will we say we love our spouse and our loved ones, but a day where we can show them that we love them and how much we love them by giving them a card or or maybe buying them something that they'll like, or even possibly taking them out to eat somewhere. I will tell you that you probably should get reservations wherever you're going to go. But those are expressions of love that we have towards those that we love. Now, it would be impossible to speak about love without talking about God, because there's nothing like the love of God. The greatest thing that God ever did for anybody is love them. Now, I say that because it was the love of God toward us that moved God to send his son Jesus Christ down from heaven to this earth to die for you and me. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even in our text this morning, in verses 9 and 10, it says, "And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Well, that's saying this. If you really want to talk about what love is, here, if you want to know what love is, here's love: that God loved us and sent his son Jesus Christ in the world to die for us when we didn't love him. That is love, according to that verse. Okay? So every day, not just on Valentine's Day, there's no greater love to celebrate than the love of God, because without his love, all of us would be doomed to hell. Now, the book of 1 John here is known as the Bible's greatest book on love. The word love is mentioned 33 times in 105 verses. And in this book of 1 John, John writes about a great God and his great love for sinners. And perhaps no other book in the Bible tells us more about the love of God than the book of 1 John. But what are the facts about the love of God? You know, many years ago, I heard a preacher tell me that says, you know, there are some people that want illustrations. They need illustrations in order to understand what's being preached. And he goes, and then there's also those people that just need the facts. Just give me the facts. And just tell me the facts and I'm good. Well, usually those that are prior military want the facts. It's just the way it is, okay? I'm personally one that just needs the facts. Well, what are the facts of God's love? Well, in order to answer that question, first we have to look at how his love is described in the context. Notice in verse 10 that the first thing you'll see is that God's love toward us is completely unmerited. Verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." It was not earned, it was not deserved, and it will never be earned or deserved. His love is based completely on his grace. Now, I believe that one of the mistakes that a lot of believers make today is that when they do good deeds, a lot of believers today, when they do good deeds, they're doing it to try to make God love them more. In other words, what a lot of believers will do, they'll mess up during the week, or they'll hide some sin in their life, or they're doing something that they know that God doesn't approve of, but yet to try to even the balances, they'll go over here and do a lot of work for the Lord and say, well, if I do over here, the Lord will love me so much that he'll put up with me doing this over here. That's not the way it works, folks. I'm just going to tell you, the things that you do for the Lord, you do it not because you want God to love you more. You do it because you love God. That's the reason you do what you do for the Lord. And listen, there is no way that anybody in this room can make God love you more than he already loved you before you were even saved. Hey, listen, he allowed his son Jesus Christ to go to the cross of Calvary for you and me and for all sinners in this world. You know how much you got to love somebody to do that? In the very thought that we're going to make the Lord love us more because we do some good deed for him. But that's the way a lot of Christians think today. And so when it comes to his love, first of all, it is completely unmerited. Another thing about his love, according to the context, is that it is everlasting. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, says Jeremiah, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." God's love lasts forever. Paul says this in Romans 8:38 and 39. He says this. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know what that means? That means that the love of God is always going to be there. Amen. It's everlasting. Other people's love may wane, but God's love will always last forever. And you can never reach a place where you will not be loved by God. You can never reach that place. But perhaps the greatest thing about the love of God is that it's completely unconditional. It's not based on what we can or cannot produce. It's not based on what we do. Now, that's a hard thing for a lot of people to think about. You know, we live in a society where everything is do something, get paid for it. Do something, get paid for it. When you were young, you did something, you might have gotten like an allowance for it. You go to job, you work on the job, you do it so you can get the paycheck. I do my part, you do your part. That's the way we are geared by society. That's the reason why a lot of people today think you have to work for your salvation, and they can't handle the fact that God gave, out of His love and out of His grace and mercy, He gave you a free gift for believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, if you trust in my Son who died on the cross, I'll give you everlasting life as a free gift. Folks, think about that gift and think about only God could give that. Can you imagine giving by a gift of everlasting life as a gift? You know, you serve a big God who can do that. Amen. And that's what He did. He gave us a gift. But there are so many people today professing to be Christians, they say, well, yeah, He gave us a gift, but I've got to do my part. Now, I've got to obey the commandments in order to keep that gift. Well, then it wouldn't be a gift then. It'd be a wage. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen, the fact of the matter is this, God gave it to us as a gift, and listen, He loved us. That He loved us before when we were even unlovable. He loved us before we even loved Him. That's the love of God. And it is unconditional. In other words, you know, there is nothing at all that we can do that will make Him stop loving us. And He loved us even when we were unlovable. And He'll never stop loving us. It's like the song says, could we with the ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's the love of God. God's love is unmerited, it's everlasting, it's unconditional. That is how the Bible describes the love of God, and that is the love of God that God has for you this morning, for all of us. But what is love really, if you only tell somebody that you love them? Where would we be today if God only told us that He loved us and nothing else? We'd all be going to hell when we die. Amen? I mean, if it was just words, it wouldn't do anybody any good. Amen? That love would be empty if it's not demonstrated. In other words, we can tell someone all day long that we love them, but if we never show it, it's just words. And not only that, but those words start to be unbelievable after a while. If all we did is, you know, if we just read the verses that says that God loves us, but God, He just left it at that. God didn't tell, you know, if all He did is just tell us that He loved us, but He did not demonstrate the fact that He loved us, all of us would be men most miserable. Look at again, if you look at verse 10 of our text, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. There's the statement. God loved us, but can't miss the rest of it. And sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Listen, not only did He say, does it say that He loved us, but it showed us that He showed us that He loved us. He demonstrated His love for us. And I don't think that God's love can ever be fully understood by anybody on this side of eternity, but it can be seen. It can be seen. It can be seen at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. It also says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen to what 1 Peter 3:18 says. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus was not guilty of sin like you and I are. He did not owe the wages for sin like you and I owe. There was no death sentence placed upon Him when there was a death sentence placed on every one of us. He was completely innocent of all charges, yet He chose to pay our death sentence on the cross of Calvary. How much would one have to love another to accept the punishment for another person's crimes? I would venture to say nobody in this room would do that for anybody. Somebody else gets convicted for murder, and you say, you know what? And that person, when he gets convicted for murder, he gets the death penalty. He's sitting on death row. I don't know if I could look around and see anybody, to include myself, that will say, you know what? I love that person right there. I don't know him really, but I love him. I'll just take his place. Let him out, and I'll be on death row. That's what love is. That's what Jesus Christ did for everybody in this room. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord did not just say that he loved us. He demonstrated his love for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What a tremendous love that the Lord has for every one of us. And you and I this morning may not fully understand it. I don't think any of us will fully understand it. None of us fully understand the depths of God's love, but we can sure see it by the way it was demonstrated. The love of our God was written and described in Scripture. He's shown us his love by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for every sinner. So we see how much God loves us. And he's shown us how much he loves us. The question is do we do the same thing for him? Do we do the same thing for him that he's done for us? You say, well, there's no way that we could do what he's done for us. I agree with that. But what I'm talking about is this. God said he loves us, and then he shows he loved us. Amen? Okay, so we say that we love the Lord. If I was asked, if I was to give a poll in here and say, well, everybody that loves the Lord, raise your hand. I have no doubt in my mind that everybody in here would raise your hand. If you don't, something's wrong with you. Amen? If you're saved, everybody would raise their hand. But is that enough? My question is this. You say that you love the Lord. I say I love the Lord. But do we demonstrate that? Do we show the Lord how much we love him by doing what we do? You know, a husband who says to his wife, I love you 30 times a day, yet never acts in a loving way toward her and never really talks to her and really never does anything. She says, honey, could you take out the trash? Honey, could you clean up the garage? Ah. And he never does anything. You know, he could sit after a while, he could say, I love you. Oh, I love you. And pretty soon she could be like, yeah, right. Amen? Why? You got to show it. You got to show it. You got to demonstrate it. And you know, that's the same way when it comes to us and the Lord. Our love for God cannot just be felt. It cannot just be talked about. It must be shown. That was the message that Jesus was trying to get across to Peter there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee over in John chapter 21. Turn if you would over to John chapter 21. I'll show you. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Now, in John chapter 21, Jesus asks Peter three questions. Notice what Jesus says after each of the three questions that he asks Peter. In John chapter 21, look at verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Stop right there. That is Peter saying, Lord, I love you. That's him saying it. Now look what the Lord says. It says, he, talking about Jesus, saith unto him, feed my lambs. In other words, Peter, now you say you love me, but that's not enough. I'm going to need you to prove it. I'm going to need you to demonstrate that. Feed my lambs. Verse 6. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Look at verse 17. He saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. It's not enough just to say you love the Lord. We are to demonstrate our love for him. Otherwise, it's just lip service. I mean, anybody could just say they love the Lord, but you love somebody and you by showing them that you love them. In what ways do you show God that you love him this morning? Now, I will tell you that there are four ways that we as Christians should seek to demonstrate our love for the Lord this morning. That's why I want to give you these four ways. First, we can demonstrate our love for the Lord with our walk. With our walk. That is the way we act, the things we do, our decisions we make day to day, our ethics, our obligations, our treatment of others, our service to the Lord. You know, if we're not walking daily in obedience to the Lord, then we're not demonstrating that that we love the Lord. If the Lord tells us in the scriptures to live a certain way to please him, and then we choose not to live that way to please him, it's a pretty tough sell that you really do love the Lord then. Turn if you would over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All the way back there in the Old Testament. I know this is the part of Deuteronomy and Leviticus are probably not the chapters you read late at night, but they're all there for a reason. They all have something there for us. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is the first place in the Bible where we see the command to love the Lord. Now, isn't it a strange thing that the Lord would have to command us to love him? That just shows you just how horrible and how sinful that man is. God loved us before we ever loved him, and he has to tell us to love him. He has to say, I'm commanding you to love me. Try that on your wife or husband one day. All right, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 5. It says this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now notice that the words which the Lord uses here to express how and how much we are to love the Lord are the words heart, soul, and might. The word heart in the Bible is used to refer to one's emotions, thoughts, wills, intentions, and desires. And saying that you are to do something with all your heart is saying you are to demonstrate it and express it in every possible way. And that's how we are to love God. Loving God with all your heart doesn't just simply mean you feel lots of love towards God. It means that you express and demonstrate your love towards the Lord in a multitude of ways. You say, how do you prove that, Pastor? How do you prove that you must show the love of God according to this passage? I mean, after all, he just commanded you to love him. Well, drop down to verse 17 and look what it says. It says, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, that thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Now notice that after the command was originally given to love the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, it's followed by an instruction to the people to obey his commands. That's not by accident. Now, listen, we Baptists, we're big on the idea that salvation is by faith through grace. I mean, we know that, and it's true. Listen, when it comes to being saved, there's no amount of works that you could possibly do to save yourself, and there's no amount of works you could possibly do to keep yourself saved. And if you think that there are works that you could do to keep yourself saved, you're kidding yourself. Why? Because the wage of sin is death. If you could lose your salvation, number one, Jesus Christ is not going to go back and die on that cross a second time to save you. It's a one-time deal. Amen. And his blood washed away all your sins, past, present, and future. And the Lord says, no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. That's how much God loves you. Listen, you know how horrible it would have been considering the wickedness that man has? And that's everybody. I mean, even Christians. We're all still sinners. We're just saved from our sins. Amen? But you know what a horrible joke that would be on man to say, I'll tell you what, I'll save you, but now it's up to you to keep yourself saved. Well, that would be the worst joke upon mankind ever, because what's the point of saving us then? Amen? Listen, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. No commandments that you could. You couldn't keep the commandments if you tried. And nobody in this room could do that. So we're not saved by keeping the commandments. But in that passage there, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then you drop down to a few verses, and he says, and listen, diligently keep my commandments. I think that's pretty reasonable, don't you? Yeah. I mean, after all, if you love somebody, and you kind of want to do what they want you to do, don't you? Well, that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, love, you are to love me with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. And folks, if you do, you'll have no problems at all doing what the Lord tells you to do. None. Because you do what you do because you love him. Now, like I said, I'm not saying that these works save anybody. But I am saying that we demonstrate to our Savior just how much we love him by obeying him. The main point of all these passages is summed up with Jesus' words in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, it's not just enough to say it. If you love me, you're going to do what I tell you to do. But you know what the really sad thing is? There are a lot of professing Christians today walking around saying that they love the Lord and they're singing, oh, how I love Jesus. But because of the sin that they allow in their lives and because some of the wicked things that they do, nobody else is able to tell that they love the Lord. And to be quite frank, if the Lord wasn't all-knowing, he probably wouldn't have a clue you loved him either. Fact. Do we know how you could show the love of to God? Just doing what he asks daily. That's how we can demonstrate our love to the Lord. It's with our walk. Then the second way we can demonstrate our love for the Lord is not only with our walk, but also with our worship. When we worship God, we ought to worship, the worship we have ought to be genuine, ought to be heartfelt, and it should be done because of our love for him. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When Jesus spoke those words, he was talking about a kind of worship that transcends circumstances and transcends place and time. A worship that's not confined to the inside of a church house, but actually thrives wherever you happen to be. It's to be a worship that's more than just going through the motions of the order of worship. It's to be a worship that's genuine expression of our love that we have for the Lord who died on the cross of Calvary. The reality is this, folks, many believers do not worship God this way. When we come before God to worship, oftentimes we bring the wrong attitude. But we demonstrate our love for the Lord by our worship of him. Turn, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. In Isaiah chapter 29, we see an indictment of those who worship God in a way that's not reflective of their love for him. And we see how he feels about it. Now remember, he said we were commanded to love him with all of our heart, our soul, and our might. But in Isaiah chapter 29, you had people who weren't loving the Lord like that. They might have been saying it, that they loved the Lord, but they were not loving the Lord like that. And it was apparent in their worship. In Isaiah chapter 29, look at verse 13, it says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, oh Lord, I love you. Lord, you know I love you. But have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. You know, we need to make certain that our worship of God isn't just something that we learn to do by repetition. Making sure that when you worship God, it's between you and God personally and not for the sake of others. And make sure that when we worship the Lord that is reflective of our love for him. When you sing, just don't, you know, sing the notes of the song. Sing the words. Read the words. Sing those words to the Lord. Think about what they're saying and sing to him. You know, when my kids were little, you know, I would listen to, like, my daughter sing when she was real little. She'd sing a song. Sometimes she'd sing that song to me. And I was like, man, isn't this great? It was so wonderful. You say, what were the words? I don't know, but she was singing it to me. Amen? Listen, if you love the Lord, show him. When you sing, don't sing for somebody else. Hey, listen, when I get up here, I'm just kidding right now, I can't sing a lick. But I ain't singing to you people. Amen? I'm singing to God. I know he appreciates it, whether you do or not. Amen? And that's the way you ought to be. Do you do what you do for the Lord? You do what you do because you love him. Hey, listen, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, good morning. Thank you for another day. Allow me to live another day, Lord. And by the way, I love you, Lord. And then live that day, walk that day, do what the Lord wants you to do. Show him that you love him. Hey, when you come to that point in life to where you can either choose to do that which is wrong or choose to do that which is right, stop right there and ask yourself, who do you love? Wouldn't you rather do what the one that you love wants you to do? If you come to that crossroads and I do good or I could do evil or I could do good, and you choose to do evil, at that point, you're not showing God that you love him very much. Why? Because he said, listen, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. If you love me, you'll be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Husbands, don't you want to do what your wife's will is? Wives, don't you want to do what your husband's will is? Why? Because you love them. First, it says, we are to give thanks. Demonstrate your love to the Lord by worshiping him and give him thanks for everything that you have and everything that you are. And then the third way we can demonstrate the love of God is not only through our walk and our worship, but also with our words. Words do make a difference. It's well known that the words that you speak to others will either have a positive or negative effect on that person. But did you know that your words can also affect you? The words which you allow yourself to say will have a defining effect on your thoughts and your attitudes. Let me ask you this. Have you ever, and I say this cautiously because maybe I'm the only one in the room that has done it. So if that's the case, then don't look at me like I'm crazy, okay? But have you ever found yourself, as you read a book, start to say those words out aloud to help you understand what you're reading a little bit more? Am I the only one that did that? Have you ever been wandering around the house doing chores and performing a task and nobody else is around and you realize that you're talking to yourself, telling you what you need to do next? Yeah, I'm not the only one that does that either. Let me ask you this, it helps though, don't it? I mean, think about this, you're telling yourself what you need to do next and you're listening to yourself and you did it, amen? I'll tell you what, we're all nuts, okay? But that's the example, the effect that our own words can have on us. Look back, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Back at Deuteronomy chapter 6, where the Lord gave us that command to love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. Look at that command again. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Then look at the next verse. And these words, that's the words he just told you. That's the command he just told you. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He's saying this, not only are you to take those words and put them in your heart, but you're supposed to tell other people about those things. You're supposed to talk to other people about those things. We're supposed to talk about the Lord. We're supposed to talk about the things of God. We're to recite them to our children. We're not only to our children, but also to ourselves, according to this passage. And God is asking us to talk to ourselves and to our children about him and about his word. When you're at home, when you're away, when you lie down, when you wake up in the morning. Now that is the genuine demonstration of our love for God if we treasure the commandments and the promises and the truth so much that we literally talk about them all the time. Let me ask you something. You, as a Christian, you know you have the promise that you're going to be in heaven one of these days, right? All right, do you talk to people about that? Or do you avoid the subject? Listen, if you're saved here this morning, you know that God came to this earth manifest in the flesh. Because he loved you and he died on that cross for you and saved your soul from being in hell forever. Don't you think that's pretty significant? Amen. When was the last time you talked to other people about that? When was the last time you made a big deal about that to other people? You realize there's no bigger deal on this earth. You say, but yes, but the Super Bowl's on today. Big whoop. That's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ did for you. I mean, people get so uptight about who's going to win the Super Bowl. Hey, listen, that's not the subject that saves mankind. That's not the message that saves anybody. Listen, If you live for another 40 years, you're not going to remember who's in it. I can't tell you who was in it 2 years ago. I don't even think I can tell you who was in it last year. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is the fact if you're saved this morning, you're going to heaven one of these days. Amen. What does matter is when it comes your time to pass from this earth, if you're a Christian, you're going to pass right into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, that's worth talking about. Not the other stuff that we talk about. And you know, I'll tell you something. If you love somebody, you're going to talk about them? Or are you going to keep a big secret? Hey, Bob, are you married? Yes. Well, what's your wife's name? Not going to tell you. How long have you been married? None of your business. What do your wife like to do? Not going to tell you. Some people even deny the Lord after they're Christians. Bob, are you married? What you talking about? Married. I ain't married. You say, what a scoundrel. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you love somebody, you're going to just naturally want to talk about them. Amen? You know, somebody when they first, how many of you know that when a young person first falls in love, they're like, oh, it's so wonderful. Oh. You know, now listen, even as older folks, we still love too. It's just not quite the same way that the young people do. And they're all so bubbly and everything. And oh, isn't he so wonderful? Oh, he's so handsome. Look what he did for me. You know, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we're going to be like little children. You know what we're going to be talking about up there? About the Lord. All the time. Do you realize nobody on this earth has ever loved you like the Lord did when he died on that cross for you? Then how come we aren't the ones saying, isn't he great? Boy, the great things he does for me. Man, let me tell you what the Lord did for me yesterday. Let me show you the blessing he gave me yesterday. Oh, you know, the Lord just takes care of me all the time. We never do that. But yet we'll sing, oh, how I love Jesus. If you love somebody, you're going to talk about him. We could show people, we could show the Lord, we can demonstrate our love through our walk, do what the Lord tells us to do. We can demonstrate our love to the Lord through our worship of him. We can certainly demonstrate our love to the Lord by at least acting like we love him, talking about him, making a big deal about him. Listen, we are to go tell people about the gospel. No doubt about that. We need to tell people, you know, this is how to be saved. But so many Christians today, that's the only time they ever talk about the Lord to anybody. Listen, make a lot about the Lord. I'll tell you this, there are a lot of people out there who don't feel very loved today. And they didn't know that there's a love out there that is unmatched by anything. And when you start talking a lot about the love of the Lord and how much you love him and how much he's done for you and what he's done for you and how he continues to take care of you, you just never know the impact of those words. Somebody's listening. Let me ask you this. Do you love the Lord this morning? If you love the Lord, raise your hand this morning. All right, let me ask you this, and I don't want you to raise your hand. When was the last time that you showed him that you did? It's not enough just to say it. When was the last time that you said, you know what, I'm just going to live my whole life for the Lord. Yes, I'll make mistakes from time to time, but I just love him. I love him so much that I'm just going to live for him. I just want to please him. I want to put a smile on his face. And when I worship him, I'm going to worship him with everything that I have because he's done so much for me. And let me tell you about my Lord, the things he's done for me. Go tell your family. Go tell your kids. Go tell your next door neighbor. When you're at Walmart, rather than talking about the price of the milk, maybe you could say, you know what? Milk's pretty high, but I'm going to be in heaven one of these days. Gas is pretty high, but guess what? The Lord saved me from hell, and I love him so much for doing it. Make much of the Lord. Demonstrate your love for the Lord today. Not just say it. Let's stand.